I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Sunday morning edition of the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio and your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate or Sirius XM, channel 206, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 is the number if you want to jump on board with us. You can give me a follow, shoot me a tweet on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. And we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Gary Cobb is going to join us coming up in the 4 a.m. Eastern Time hour. We'll spend a few minutes talking to the former Eagles and Cowboys linebacker about the big game coming up later today with NFC East bragging rights and playoff implications on the line in the NFC East between the Eagles and the Cowboys at Jerry's World at 4:25 p.m. Eastern. And we'll also go around the NFL with G. Cobb, as it is a week 14, and it did get started off on Thursday night with the Tennessee Titans just stomping out the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Derrick Henry, I think, is still running all over that Jaguars defense. So a whole lot to get to. We will get to the NFL. We will get to Sunday stocks, whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming in the sports world. But where we have to start is with the college football. Yes, Army does take down Navy. And once again, another fun Army-Navy game where we celebrate our country and celebrate the great men and women that do protect us and also the men that are on the football field. But really, the big story from college football from last night was the 2018 Heisman Trophy presentation in New York, and I was in the building for it. And Kyler Murray wins the 2018 Heisman. And, you know, I'm not stunned. I'm not completely in awe about it because you knew that all three of the finalists put up great resumes. I didn't expect Haskins to be in the top two, and he wasn't. He was number three. And you knew it was coming down to Tua Tagovailoa and then Kyler Murray. And for me, when we were on last night, I told you, I went Tua 1, Kyler Murray 2, and Dwayne Haskins number 3 in my mock ballot. But you started to see momentum shift away from Tua Tagovailoa, who 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, it was a lock. It was a guarantee that Tua Tagovailoa was going to win the Heisman Trophy. But once when Tua doesn't play well in the SEC title game, Jalen Hurts comes off the bench and has Alabama take down Georgia, and you have Kyler Murray avenge the one loss of the season to Texas in the Big 12 championship game, that is when the momentum, the mood, and the thought of who was going to win the Heisman went from all year long Tua, 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 to Kyler Murray's going to win. And I thought because of all the steam and all of the talk all year long of Tua, 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 that Tua was going to end up still winning the award in a narrow margin of victory. Now, that didn't end up happening. And you get back-to-back years where an Oklahoma kid, last year Baker Mayfield, this year Kyler Murray, they walk away with the hardware. So congratulations to Kyler Murray. He wins the Heisman. And he was a video game all year long. There's no doubt about it. Over 4,000 passing yards, 40 passing touchdowns, 11 rushing touchdowns, and was just shy of 1,000 yards on the ground rushing the football. He was unbelievable this year, and his team only had one loss, so they were able to make up for that one loss by winning the Big 12 championship game. So it is a bit surprising. I'm not totally shocked by it, as Kyler Murray had 892 rushing yards this year with 11 rushing touchdowns. I'm not totally shocked by it, but just because we were told all year long that it was going to be Tua Tagovailoa winning, I thought that that was still going to come to fruition. He was still going to win the award. So it ends up not being as close as we thought it was. It was Kyler Murray winning and winning going away. And like I said, all three of these candidates were deserving. That's why they're in New York. And sometimes you have a candidate that's in New York, he doesn't have a shot of winning. But you could have made a case compared to other years for Haskins and what he's done in the Big Ten, for Tua and what he's done in the SEC at Alabama, and then for what Kyler Murray has done in the Big 12 at Oklahoma. And the story of Kyler Murray, it's just sensational. With the transferring, with the two sports, going ninth overall to the Oakland Athletics in the baseball draft, now a Heisman Trophy winner, had to transfer, then gets to Oklahoma. Baker gets that extra year of eligibility, has to wait even more. And you were just waiting and waiting and waiting in his young career with a background, with a family that obviously knows a thing or two about football, especially college football. And you're just waiting to see this kid play and watch him play consistently. Because Texas A&M, it wasn't consistent. 2017, it was Baker's team. And in 2018, the 5'10 quarterback, as he's listed as 195 pounds, it's finally his team. And when it was his team, he wins a Big 12 championship, only suffers one loss on the season, and goes for a college football season that, in the quarterback position, that we're not going to forget for a very long time. That's how good he was. And the crazy part is, when you have a kid like this win the Heisman and play with the stats at this level, you would think, okay, he's going to the NFL, right? It's a lock. He's going to the league. The way that the league is played now and the way they toss around the pigskin, hey, Kyler Murray's going to the NFL. Well, doesn't look that way. Now, it's not official. It's not guaranteed that he's playing baseball. Does have a contract with the Athletics. And Scott Forrest said he's going to honor that and he's going to play baseball, but Kyler Murray said he'll wait till the end of the year. But the vibe in that room, and based off what you've been able to hear, most likely he's going to be playing baseball. And there's a part of me, and a big part of me, that really doesn't want to see him play baseball. And it seems like he's a great baseball player, top 10 draft pick. But when you're this exciting, and let's be honest, college football has more attention than college baseball. So when you see him perform at an elite level in a sport that we love in college football, not saying we don't love college baseball, but it's more popular college football. You want to see how his game would translate with his size, with his legs, with his arm, how it would translate into the NFL. And right now, I'll never say never, but right now it looks like he's going to be going to baseball. So once again, congratulations to Kyler Murray. But I'd be remiss in the open if we didn't also praise Lincoln Riley. Because you want to talk about one of the great success stories in college football to start 2 years as a head coach of Oklahoma. It's Lincoln Riley taking over for a legend in Stoops and Bob Stoops. And to see what Lincoln Riley's been able to do in 2 years, that's jaw-dropping. He's 24-3, has two Big 12 championships, two appearances in the college football playoff. They lose last year, and it was just an unbelievable game between Georgia and Oklahoma. And now he gets to play Alabama coming up in a few weeks in the Orange Bowl for a trip to the national championship game. And you look at the rise of Lincoln Riley. I remember not that long ago when he was at ECU with Ruffin McNeil. I remember the quarterback that they were coaching too, and Shane Carden, who for the ECU Pirates had two 30-plus touchdown seasons. And that should have been a sign right there that Lincoln Riley knows a thing or two about succeeding in the coaching world when he was at ECU and before that at Texas Tech. And then he goes to Oklahoma under the legendary coach in Bob Stoops. And the next thing you know, by 2017, he's the head football coach. And now whenever there is a job open in the National Football League and a team is trying to replicate the formula of the Los Angeles Rams, maybe the Chicago Bears, maybe the Philadelphia Eagles, when you're looking for a young, innovative, different offensive mind. And for years, really, with college, how many times did we hear the name David Shaw be thrown around as one of those guys that could eventually make the jump to the NFL and never did so far? But whenever you get into a name right now, I don't think there's a hotter name in the country. In fact, there isn't, in terms of jumping from college to the NFL and what the rumors will be, than Lincoln Riley, who, by the way, is only 35. It's incredible. Incredible what he's been able to do to be a head football coach, two Heismans, two Big 12 championships, and a record of 24-3, two trips to the college football playoff in your first 2 years on the job. Now, there will be a ton of speculation. I know a lot of people say, Cleveland, 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 they have to go get Lincoln Riley. It makes sense. And it does make sense. If I was an NFL owner right now, and you see the way Lincoln Riley coaches and what he's been able to do in 2 years, I would hand him a check and say, whatever you want. Except I don't think he's going to go right now. I don't think he's going to the NFL this year or next year. Once again, I'll never say never, but why would you want to leave Oklahoma right now? Just got a 5-year, $25 million contract last summer. Why would you want to leave? It's not as much pressure as there is in the NFL. You'll run the Big 12 for years and years to come. So if I'm Lincoln Riley, I'm staying put at Oklahoma. And if he wants to, if he continues this, he could stay at Oklahoma for the rest of his life. But will there be that desire to go to the National Football League? Will there be that inkling to say, yeah, let me see if they could do this in the pros? And you know someone, he knows someone very well in Baker Mayfield. And that job's open with the Cleveland Browns. So I don't think he's going. And right now, I don't see how you can leave Oklahoma. I just don't. But you never know. What happens if a team calls and says, we're going to offer you X amount of dollars? It's something just to ponder about. It really is. So here's the two questions I have for you at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Do you think the Heisman got it right? Should it have been Kyler Murray that won the award, or should it have been Tua Tagovailoa? Ends up being Kyler. Do you agree with the decision? I don't have a huge problem with it. Like I said, it was splitting hairs. I would have went with Tua, but Kyler wins the award, and a really nice human being able to interact with him a few times over the last 48 hours. Seems like a good guy, humble kid, fun kid, good personality, and one heck of a football player, we know that. And then the other question is, Lincoln Riley, would you leave to test the waters of the NFL, or do you stay put at Oklahoma? I think he should stay put at Oklahoma right now and be the king of Oklahoma for years and years to come. 855-212-4CBS, we talk to you next. We're off and running on a Sunday morning right here. It's the Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, talking about the Heisman Trophy. Which, by the way, a fan base that's starting to annoy me a little bit, Ohio State. There's been no show in the country that has been more complimentary to Dwayne Haskins. The feel, though, going into this week was it was down to Tua and Kyler Murray. And by the way, I've said it time in and time again. We were even talking about Dwayne Haskins before the year as a Heisman Trophy candidate. Before the year! And he had a great year. There's no taking away from him. I even thought he was disrespected this week. And people should respect him. He's a great college football player. We'll see how he ends up in the pros. And I enjoyed my conversation with him yesterday, talking a little bit about the Giants. Which, by the way, Ben, you must have been loving that. You get to have a guy that could potentially be in play for the New York Giants. You find out that he's a big-time Giant fan growing up as a kid. Not only was he a big-time Giant fan, you could tell it was authentic. He's listing off all these players, talking about Eli Manning and how he would love to learn from Eli Manning if he does, in fact, go to the NFL, which I think we all expect at this point where his stock is right now for him to jump from college to the NFL. But you had to love that, right?
Yeah, the idea of a guy that knows what it means to be a Giant, a guy who's grown up seeing what the Giant way is, which, you know, they seemingly have gotten a little bit away from recently. I'm not going to give him all the credit in the world that he named, you know, six Giants that played about 7 years ago. I mean, talk about, you know, really digging deep there. O.C. Umanura, you know, Justin Tuck.
Yeah, what, do you want him to start naming Carl Banks?
Well,
killer?
Yeah, you're a real fan. Let's go back to Bavaro and Phil McConkie and the touchdown maker Stephen Baker. You know, I got you. Neither was I, but I know.
So here's Ben's big take. I'm a bigger Giant fan than
No, but I'm just saying, like, this idea that, oh, he named a couple Giants. Like, yes, was I excited? And you saw, I texted you. I said, I'm thoroughly enjoying it, but I can't really enjoy it to my fullest because I got tagged in the tweet. And all of New York, you know, the New York Giant fan base is liking it. I couldn't, I'm trying to work my other job on my phone every 2 seconds.
Well, here's the
Twitter
thing.
Notifications.
Last night, you advocate for more Twitter followers.
Not
only do we get you more Twitter followers,
thank you very much.
Then I get you a ton of publicity.
Ton of pub.
In this tweet saying, oh, Ben Horowitz, antique barber, must love this. And now you're complaining about that?
First time I think I've ever been mentioned in the same breath as Tiki.
Minus you in your fantasy football league.
Yeah. I think am I playing him this week? We're in the playoffs. I think I might be
How
playing
are you
him
doing
this.
In that league?
I'm in the playoffs.
Is Tiki in the playoffs?
The problem is, in this league, it was a keeper league. I'm kind of screwed right now. I kept Le'Veon Bell, dud. Didn't touch the ball, obviously. AJ Green, out. I got a lot of injuries. I'm limping into the playoffs, not looking good. I thought I had a stacked team going into the year, even going into the playoffs. I thought that I had a decent shot. But
didn't you have Derrick Henry? Is that the
No, that's that another league. Another league. That one hurt too. Seeing him, you know, rattle off 48 fantasy points, you know, running all over the Jaguars, which is great, but I couldn't even enjoy it because I had Derrick Henry on my bench in place of Mark Ingram, who's inevitably going to get me like 5 points come later today.
You want to know what was even worse? I'm in the consolation round. I've had 4 fantasy leagues this year. Didn't make the playoffs in a single one because in 2 leagues I had Le'Veon Bell.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was a killer. Absolute killer.
Emmanuel Sanders, AJ Green all out. Le'Veon Bell doesn't touch the ball. I'm screwed.
Now, I have Derrick Henry in the consolation league, in the bracket I'm in. It was so misleading when I went to go check the scores and then realized that I wasn't in the postseason. I just missed out on the postseason.
All right, well, you play for number one pick.
That's not how it works. That's how you do your
That's
fantasy.
That's not how you don't do that?
No.
So the consolation bracket means literally
means
nothing.
It means nothing.
That's
Unless you
dumb.
Give a punishment, which, by the way, I think it should be regular season with the person that finished
Well,
last.
You can still add a punishment into the consolation even with that, but give people a reason to play in the consolation.
What me and my friends do is we go to a restaurant and we pick out of a hat. For one of the league, and that's how we pick it. It's all random for all these leagues.
Nah, you got to make it meaningful for everyone, because otherwise, now you got guys, you start setting up collusion cases where you're out of it and you conveniently drop a guy, the commissioner's not paying attention, you're picking up a player because you're in the playoffs, got a little side deal. You don't want that. Give everyone a reason to play. Consolation bracket, you go in reverse, you win the consolation bracket, you get first pick, and you go reverse from there.
I didn't think we'd be talking fantasy football, but
I didn't either.
Amazing how much passion
you
have
that
for
show,
fantasy football.
That show ended, well,
right?
I'm in way too many leagues.
Maybe you should quit this job, quit the other job, and become the ultimate fantasy football commissioner.
I could.
You get a lot more Twitter followers, by the way.
Look, I'll do anything for Twitter followers.
You'd be at 24,000 Twitter followers
and
by
I won't
the end
even,
of the week.
I won't even accept payment from these people. Just invite me to your draft. Let me hang out, eat your food, drink your booze.
Get
I'd
some
be
wings.
Happy. Yeah, there we go.
Now
talk some football.
Now give me your take on the Heisman. Who do you thought should have won the award?
Tua, and it's not even close. I mean, this idea that because he got hurt in the SEC title game, that all of a sudden that should count against him.
Well, it's more that he played poorly.
He didn't have the best game. But this,
2 picks.
He was undoubtedly the best player in college football,
Agreed.
Hands down, the entire year. He had 2 bad quarters, and we're going to hold it against him? The reason people are holding it against him is because they were looking for a reason to not vote for him. People hate Alabama. They hate Fair. The dominant team. This is Alabama bias. And this idea, too, that, oh, well, Murray had more stats. Well, everyone knows that Tua was so damn dominant that they could sit him basically every fourth quarter because he's out there throwing touchdown passes left and right. And, you know, believe it or not, Saban has some semblance of sportsmanship. Take the guy out. These other guys have families, for God's sake.
I don't even think it's more sportsmanship. I think it's just more that he wants to reward Jalen Hurts for sticking around.
Or maybe he wants to protect Tua. Nonetheless, it doesn't change the fact that this guy's dropping dimes left and right all over people, running on them left and right too. So we sit him in the fourth quarter and you're going to hold that against him?
He's the most outstanding player in college football this past year, Tua Tagovailoa.
And that's all you
and
need
to say. And
that's
the award.
That's the award.
But do you agree that Kyler Murray is the most valuable to his team?
Sure, but that's not what the
that's
Heisman.
That's not the award.
The Heisman Trophy is awarded to the most outstanding player.
Yeah.
That's Tua, hands down. Look, nothing against Dwayne Haskins. Nothing against Kyler Murray. They're both excellent talents. Great college football players. Tua was not only the most outstanding player in college football, he was the most dominant. This was a joke, and it's all because people hate Alabama, and you should understand this more than anyone. You're a Pats fan. Arguably,
am I? You sure?
Pretty sure. Tom Brady arguably could win the MVP.
Oh, yeah, that's right, I am.
Oh, that's right.
Sorry. Forgot what day of the week it was.
Tom Brady could arguably win the MVP every single year. You don't want to know why he doesn't? Because people hate the Patriots.
Well, it's the same thing as LeBron James, too. He should win the MVP every year as well. He doesn't. People look for a reason, and when you're not perfect, people look for a reason to take it away from you. And in this case, he was not perfect in the final game of the season after being perfect the entire year. You're not wrong, Ben. You're right. I would have, as I said, I would have voted him as number one. I thought he was the best player in college football. But when you play for the most dominant team and when you're the most dominant player in the sport, people look for reasons to take the award away from you. LeBron doesn't win the MVP because he wasn't number one in the Eastern Conference when he was in the East. Tom Brady, when there's years where he's been unstoppable on the field, he has one bad game. Oh, there he goes. No MVP. And with Tua's case, fair or not, and that's why I was a little bit surprised. Not shocked because of what happened in assessing the situation, but I was a little bit surprised after being told the entire year this guy was going to win it. And it was a foregone conclusion, not only 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, but 2 weeks ago. I was so surprised that it changed that much. I was expecting change, but still, even with the change, there's to still be enough where he would have won the award and he didn't.
I was stunned. I just don't.
You were stunned.
I don't see any way that you can justify Tua not winning it other than the fact that you're jealous, you hate Alabama, you're biased, and you were looking for any possible reason not to vote this guy in, and you got a little sliver of light in the SEC title game. Two bad quarters after he's been dominant for 12 games all year.
Well, here's actually now, let's rephrase the question. Question number one, when you call in at 855-212-4CBS, do you like Alabama? That's the first question I'll ask you. And then after that, who do you thought should have won the award? Let's go to Kyle in South Carolina. We'll start things off. Kyle, who do you root for in college football?
All right, I like the Gamecocks, South Carolina.
So you don't like Alabama?
Not at all.
Who should have won the Heisman?
Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay, now state your case.
All right, now look at Steph Curry. He's the best in the NBA as far as shooting goes. But 9 times out of 10, when they up so much, he doesn't play in the fourth quarter. Tua, what, he played 8 snaps in the fourth quarter? So, come on, man. He's the best, man. He's lefty. He's the best, man. He can run. He can throw. So what, man? These guys over in Oklahoma, they're...
Wow. We didn't even dump him. He just hung up. He got to Oklahoma, and that was his breaking point. So much to people in Oklahoma, and then he said, yeah, I got to go to bed before I say something I regret or say something stupid. That was one of the craziest calls. That guy was on the verge of saying something offensive or something mean or just something that would have had a curse word. And he said, yep, hang up the phone, click. But the guy's not wrong. Tua was the best player in college football.
It's a good job by Kyle's mama, though. Every mom in America says if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it. And
yeah.
Kyle followed through. So I think his mom is proud.
So he paid attention in kindergarten, pre-K?
That's right. Good job by Kyle.
All right. We'll continue to take your phone calls. Two questions. One, do you hate Alabama? And two, who should have won the Heisman? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. When we come on back for hour number two of the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio, here's what I got for you. There is a trend in college football right now. It's a controversial trend. Some people like it. Some people don't like it. We'll delve into that when we come back, and we'll continue to take your phone calls on what is the 2018 Heisman Trophy race. Kyler Murray wins it, going away. Tua Tagovailoa. Did he get snubbed of the Heisman? Or was Kyler the right decision? CBS Sports Radio, Zach Gelb Show.
He's back. Here's Zach Gelb.
Do you hate Alabama? And then who should have won the Heisman Trophy? Because we're trying to see how many people that dislike Alabama then believe that Tua should not have won the Heisman. Or how many people dislike Alabama and thought Tua should have won the Heisman. Or did the Heisman Trophy voters get it right in giving it to Kyler Murray? I don't think it's an egregious decision to give it to Kyler Murray. I would have personally, as I said all year long, would have voted for Tua Tagovailoa. And when you look at his numbers and see what they are right now compared to what Kyler and Dwayne's were, with a lot more fourth quarters involved and Tua not playing in a whole lot of fourth quarters, Tua's numbers are just ridiculous. All three of these quarterbacks' numbers are just ridiculous. And I felt like momentum was shifting, but I didn't think it would totally shift to where Tua would not only not get the trophy, but it ended up not even being close. And you start to wonder, did people just get so tired of Alabama being so dominant in terms of competition on the field? Did that hurt Tua's chances because he played one bad game and not even a full game in the SEC title game where he went down with the injury and then Hurts comes in and ends up winning the ball game for the Alabama Crimson Tide? Let's go out to the phone lines, 855-212-4CBS. We go to Ohio. Rich joins us. What's happening, Rich?
What's going on?
Nothing much. Number one, do you hate Alabama?
Yes.
Who should have won the Heisman?
Alabama.
And who should have won the Heisman?
I'm a big Ohio State homer. I bleed scarlet and gray. And so my most, other than the team up north, the four teams I despise the most are all in the playoffs.
Okay.
But Tua, I've been watching college football a long time, and Tua, to me, in my eyes, is the most pro-ready college quarterback I've ever watched.
Wow.
Even though he's...
Well, Rich, I appreciate the phone call. I don't have 20 minutes for you to make your point. We get it. You like Tua Tagovailoa. You have every reason to like Tua Tagovailoa, but if you can't make your reason a little bit quicker, then I have to let you go, which we just did. David, listening on 107.5 in South Carolina, joins us next with the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. What's happening, David?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I say I'm a Gamecock fan, like the other gentleman that called, although I subscribe to the theory that you can't say nice about somebody, come sit by me and we'll talk about them together.
I like that method in life.
I just like Alabama, but I believe Tua should have won. I think there's bias against the SEC because I honestly believe that if Georgia had upset Alabama, they would have left Alabama out of the playoff.
Oh, no, no shot. The college football playoff, no way they would have left Alabama out, in my opinion. I think they would have put Alabama in over Oklahoma.
Say
your last point one more time. Say that last point one more time.
I think the bias against the SEC is heavy.
Well, in recent years, they've put, just even go back to last year, Alabama didn't get to the SEC title game, and what ended up happening? They were still in the college football playoffs, so
right.
I'll disagree with you on that one. There may have been bias with the writers in terms of they don't like Alabama, they're tired of Alabama, Alabama player has one bad game, you don't vote for it from the Heisman, but that's two different things. When you look at the college football playoff committee and the Heisman, College Football Playoff Committee 100% would have put in Alabama if they would have lost to Georgia. 100%. Just look at what happened last year when Alabama didn't even get to the SEC title game and still got in, and deservedly so, and they ended up winning the entire thing as a four seed. Let's go to Anthony in Pittsburgh next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Doing great. Go ahead.
Hey, you know, I'm not an Alabama hater at all.
Okay.
But I think they got it right. I think that people realize that, you know, Tua plays on the – I mean, it, they're heads and shoulders the best group of athletes in the country. And I think they realize that if Hurts was in that position, Hurts would be putting up them same numbers.
Oh, no, he wouldn't. No, he wouldn't.
I
you think
he
would have 37 touchdowns to 4 interceptions and not play the fourth quarter?
But who ran the most prolific offense in the whole country all year?
Yes, I understand your point with Kyler Murray, but they had no defense, which I get what you're saying as well. Me. But Tua at points, you know what? You could actually make the case for Alabama. Now, when you look at dominance, you know what? It's actually very close because Alabama's offense – it was so good. They would go up like 28-0 early. Yes, they get contributions from the defense. I totally get that. But Tua was dropping dimes all in the first half.
His numbers would have been greater, and I think he's an amazing athlete. But I really do think that, you know, he's playing with a group of guys that just puts him above everyone else. And to me, that's not the person that deserves that award. It's the person that's been doing it with less all year long.
But isn't the award who's the most outstanding player in college football? You thought Kyler Murray was more outstanding than Tua Tagovailoa, is then what you're saying?
I really do, and I'm not an Alabama hater at all. I'm not at all.
No, and it's a fair opinion because Kyler Murray had a great year. It's not like they gave it to someone that threw 25 touchdown passes and 10 interceptions, but it's still at the end of the day, I thought Tua was the best player in college football this year. Let's go to Todd in Charlotte, North Carolina, next up on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Todd?
Hey, what's going on now? I enjoy the show, watching the snow come down and all that stuff.
It's snowing right now in Charlotte, North Carolina?
60 seconds of your time. But I'm also going to bring a couple of two basketball questions in there. But I think all three of them deserved it. And, you know, you're not winning any money. I know you're getting accolades. And you're getting a trophy and all that good stuff. But all three of them boys going to be making good money. I don't know if all three of them going to go in the first round, but, you know, or when they decide to go. But, you know, I don't see, you know, I understand, I guess, you know, but to me it's just a trophy. And I know
it's not just a trophy, it's the Heisman Trophy.
All that good stuff. Now, I'm going to let that go. Because I'm not a real big college football fan because my Tar Heels suck. And now we got Mac Brown back. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But my other question is, I watched that Seton Hall game
great
today.
Game.
And they were talking about how many players that Calipari has put in the first round and all this. But I tell you what, Roy Williams, since he came back to Carolina – you know, and I don't know what we're going to do against Duke and all that this year, but my thing is, you know, I know you got stat guys there. All they did in the Seton Hall game was talk about his one and dones, how many championships has he won?
He won the championship at Kentucky.
How many?
One.
He's won one, right?
Yes.
How many? Yes. I can't even say.
All right, Todd, appreciate the phone call. Thank you. We're not talking basketball right now. We get your point. You love Roy Williams. You love Krzyzewski. You just tell me Calipari's not a great coach? I'm not going to buy into that. Oh, jeez. You know what? Ben and Skim were right when I was on 105 through the Fan in Dallas this past week. You sometimes get really good callers, and then you just get callers that they don't listen to the show. They say they listen, oh yeah, love it. And then they call up with something that has no clue with what we're talking about. And you got to be better than that. You really do. Seth in Memphis, Tennessee, next up, CBS Sports Radio. Seth, please be a good caller.
Yeah, okay, I'll try. I'm an SEC homer. I'm a Bama fan, but I think Kyler Murray should have got it, and here's why.
You're a Bama fan, and you think Kyler Murray should have won it?
Yes.
Interesting.
Well, everyone's blaming the Georgia game, the SEC championship, SOI, Tua lost. He had a bad game. He was injured.
and that's when the tides kind of turn. But even if you take out that the conference championship games, he was already up 500 yards passing, 700 yards rushing. He already had six more touchdowns in Tua, and he rushed for almost 1,000 yards. He averaged 7.4 yards per
attempt. Was great. No one's saying that Kyler Murray didn't have a great year, but you can't just breeze over the fact that Tua barely played in the fourth quarter this year.
Okay, here's – all right. Take out every fourth quarter stat from Kyler Murray. Take out everything he did in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, someone sent me that tweet.
You will see that he still has more passing yards and more all-purpose touchdowns than Tua. Even if you take out everything in the fourth quarter, he's still ahead.
Yes, but right now – and see, that's why I don't love that point. And I saw someone did send me that tweet, and it's very close. But Murray still went on to play in the fourth quarter, where you get to make those stats better. I'm not killing Kyler Murray for winning the award. I like the guy. He's a heck of a football player. But we don't know what Tua would have done in those fourth quarters. And look how great his numbers were throwing, 37 touchdown passes with barely playing in the fourth quarter. Kyler Murray threw 40 with playing in the fourth quarter. So you can't just take out the numbers when one guy ended up playing and then call in and say, oh, well, look what the numbers ended up being. We didn't get to see what Tua's numbers would have ended up being if he did play in the fourth quarter. Let's go to Paul in Austin, Texas. Next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Paul?
Hey, enjoy your show. I'm a huge LSU alum and fan. Of course, I hate Alabama with a passion. But with that being said, I feel like Tua should have won. He played a little over 100 less snaps than Murray. He threw for 37 touchdowns. His accuracy and precision is about the best that I've seen probably since Drew Brees at Purdue. And if you look at, that LSU game, when he literally left those fast LSU defensive backs in the dust on that 46-yard run, guy's an amazing athlete, and teams that put outside pressure on him, it just kind of plays into, really kind of into his playmaking ability. The guy has great vision, playing in the SEC schedule. Like I said, played 100 less plays than Murray. And if you look at the voting in the South, Tua only won by like 20 votes in the South.
375 to 356. And that killed him big time. Killed him big time in the South.
So that's my point. Piggybacking off of what you said, is that there is a bias against Alabama. I could see, to an extent, kind of similar to the anti-Pats bias in the NFL. Everybody wants to knock off the big dog. I mean, of course, they got issues in the SEC office. I mean, we've had issues with officiating throughout the year, not counting just LSU. I mean, just it's been consistent for years. But I think that's why he lost. I mean, Murray, I've watched him play four games this year, including the Texas game. His only blemish is to a four-loss Texas team. So,
which they avenged.
I mean, exactly. And both of them, are great athletes. I mean, I don't want to minimize anything.
Yeah, and that's what people miss here with this whole thing. You think just because you think someone else should have won it, you're trying to take away from Kyler Murray. I'm not trying to take away from Kyler Murray. People ask me, though, who I thought should have won. I thought Tua should have won. Is it this sin and this awful mistake that he didn't win the award? No. I personally would have voted for him. I personally would have thought he would have won it. But you go with Kyler Murray, and I appreciate the phone call, Paul. I'm up against a break. It ends up being Kyler Murray, and the thing that is confusing to me is how it was Kyler Murray going away by so much. And you start to wonder, then, what's the reason for that?
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
So we're seeing a trend over the last few years in college football. And we're seeing, because the other bowl games don't matter that much, in terms of publicly, I love watching the New Year's Six Bowl, those games, absolutely love those. And if you have some rooting interest in some of these other minor bowls, they're fun to watch, but you don't watch as many of the bowl games as you once did. You just really don't. Because of the importance of the college football playoff and the importance of getting in to the top four teams and how the interest is so high there. So you see players making a personal decision instead of a team decision. Some players will play a bowl game that maybe doesn't mean that much, Some players will not. Now, Jalen Smith and Jake Butt are two players, just in recent memory, they got hurt. And Jalen Smith ended up hurting himself in the Fiesta Bowl versus Ohio State in 2016. And then Jake Butt ended up tearing his ACL, the Michigan tight end, up against Florida in the Orange Bowl. Neither were for the college football playoff. And because of that, people will say, well, because you're not really getting paid, should you just not play when you're so close to making the NFL and not risk the injury? And when that first happened, that topic of conversation first happened, I was adamant, no way, no how, you should not skip that game. But after thinking about it and how much the NCAA takes advantage of the college athletes and minus a little stipend, doesn't pay them anything, and they can't market off their own brand, which the NCAA makes a ridiculous amount of money off of, I don't have a problem when Will Greer or Ed Oliver or Greedy Williams and Rashawn Gary elect to say, I'm not going to play in the bowl game. I just don't have a problem with it anymore. So my opinion has changed on that because of the fact that, yes, the players that have bonds and relationships with their teammates, you would like to see them play one final college football game with their brothers and with their teammates. You would love to see that. And it could hurt a team, and it could hurt the rest of the team if you're losing a player like Will Greer at West Virginia or Ed Oliver at Houston or wherever the player is. And it could hurt the team. It could affect them winning an extra game. There's no doubt about it. But that player is so close to making a lucrative contract and a life-changing contract and getting into the NFL. When you see situations like Bud and Smith where they get hurt, it costs these guys millions of dollars. So I understand the decision now. Now, one more thing on the Heisman, and we'll get back to your phone calls in just a second, which, by the way, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, and it's brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more in car insurance. I got a tweet from a loyal listener in Aaron, in Boomsoon 2008 is his Twitter account. He said, Zach, here are the numbers. Two on the full season. And I'm going to take the numbers in the tweet for what they're worth. I didn't double-check them, but I'm assuming they're the right numbers, because... Well, actually, no, they're not the right numbers right away. You can already see how misleading this is, just looking at it. Passing yards, well, two for the full season passing yards. I'll give you what the numbers were. And then what the tweet then actually said for Kyler Murray. Tua with the full season passing yards threw for 3,353 yards. Oh, actually, my bad. Let me get this right. I'll get the tweet right. Love your show, dude. Interesting stat, but take up the fourth quarter no T for Kyler, and here are the stats before the championship games. All right, so this is before the championship games. That's why it's on the total season numbers. So the tweet was misleading, but here we go. This is before the championship games. Passing yards for two on the full season, 3,189. Rushing yards, 211. Total yards, 3,400. Total TDs, 41. Kyler Murray, no fourth quarter or overtime before the championship games. So this is taking out the fourth quarter. Kyler Murray has more passing yards, more rushing yards, more total yards, less total touchdowns. So those are the numbers. But here's what I'll say to go against that. We voted on what the numbers were, and the voters voted on what the numbers were with Kyler Murray having 4,053 total yards or passing yards, 40 touchdowns to 7 interceptions, 892 rushing yards. The voters then compared that to Tua, who still put up 37 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, only 190 rushing yards and 5 rushing touchdowns, and 3,353 passing yards, but without playing in the fourth quarter. So you could give me Kyler Murray's numbers and how great they were without the fourth quarter, but still, the numbers the writers voted on were with Kyler's full numbers with all four quarters and Tua with basically only playing three quarters. And still, the passing touchdowns were 40. We're playing all with Kyler Murray to Tua only having 37 touchdowns. If Tua plays in the majority of the fourth quarter this year, the passing touchdown numbers would not have even been close to what they actually were. So give me Murray's numbers, and they're great without the fourth quarter, but it does make a difference. It does. All right, let's go to Robert in Georgia next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Robert?
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Doing great.
Thank you for having me on the show. If I can, I'd like to touch on both of those topics. I played college ball, so I'd like to hit both of those. So for the Heisman.
Where'd you play, just wondering?
I played at ECU.
Oh, okay, the Pirates. Were you there recently?
I was there between 08 and 13.
Gotcha. Oh, 08 and 13. Mm-hmm. Wait, 08 and 13?
So that was that would be
Ruffin McNeil?
That would be my first 2 years, Skip Holtz, and then my last three would be under Ruffin McNeil.
Yeah, I like Ruffin McNeil. They should have never let him go, but go ahead.
So in regards to the Heisman, I believe it goes to Kyle Murray easily. You know, the fourth quarter argument is I hear it, but it's not as solid to me because Tua's playing with Alabama's defense, which keeps him off the field, which gives him a better chance to win. Kyle Murray, with his passing
Murray.
And his with his pass, well, go ahead.
Kyler Murray is his name.
Yeah,
Kyler Murray. Yep.
You know, with his passing and his, you know, his rushing, it puts him as the number one contender for the Heisman. So that's what it took. It took him to win those games. He didn't have a defense like Bama to rely on. So I hear the fourth quarter argument, but at the end of the day, you know, he did it rushing and passing.
So let me ask you this. The most valuable player in college football this past year was Kyler Murray, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, I agree with you on that. He was the most valuable to his team. But the award is who's the most outstanding. Was he the most outstanding in your opinion?
So if you look at the stats, there's no arguing against that. 890-something rushing yards, more passing yards, and I can't remember how many passing TDs, but, yeah, he takes the cake.
But once again, and, hey, he runs the ball more than Tua does, and Tua's also playing with a bummed leg for parts of the year. But once again, that's where the fourth quarter argument lies into play, is how close it was in passing touchdowns, 40-37, and Tua did not play in the most of his fourth quarters. Jordan in Dallas, next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jordan?
What's going on, man? I wanted to say that as I live here in Dallas, and I wanted to say that I don't have anything for Oklahoma or Alabama. I hate OU as much as I hate Alabama just because as a TCU fan, we've gotten screwed out of the college football playoff via virtue of both of those teams in some way, shape, form, or fashion. With that being said, I would like to make the point that I do think Kyler Murray deserved the award this year. And I wanted to say this just because, as the earlier caller said, I don't think he didn't say this directly, but I think just the strength of schedule and the context of what each player had to do each week in order to get their team a victory kind of trumps stats, in my opinion.
What do you mean by strength of schedule?
Okay, so when I say strength of schedule, right, I think that, like, okay, we can talk about how they played and they skunked LSU and then they beat Georgia, which was a top four team. I completely understand that. But when you look at the rest of the SEC West, right, and their non-conference schedule, right, you don't get any respect from me for playing Mercer. You don't get any respect from me
but
for playing
But who are the
Citadel.
Elite teams? Hold on. Who are the elite teams in the Big 12? Great teams in the Big 12?
I think that just the fact that
Texas on the same level as LSU or Georgia?
No, but I do think they're definitely better than Ole Miss. I do definitely think they're better than Mississippi State.
Sure.
And you're right. And I think that playing West Virginia, and I think that just some of the challenges that Big 12 presents is a lot more just than what the SEC West was.
Than Texas and West Virginia, who are your great teams in the Big 12? Great teams? And I wouldn't even call West Virginia or Texas great teams.
I wouldn't call them great, but let me just put it to you like this. I feel like as in the amount of challenge that you would face playing your average Big 12 team compared to the average SEC West team that you play week to week was better in the Big 12 than it was in the SEC West. The SEC West had
But once again, if you're going to make that argument, then who are the good teams in the Big 12 that make you shake in your boots? If you're going to kill one conference, for one side of it, then I need to hear, then who are your elite teams in the Big 12?
But that's the thing. I'm not talking about if they're elite or not. I'm simply just making the point that I feel like I simply think that, okay, if I made a comparison, I think that, for example, teams that I feel like OSU had a better year than Mississippi State. I feel like teams like TCU that were hurt all year had better years than Ole Miss and Mississippi State. This team, they played better teams.
So are you telling me the Big 12 is a better conference than the SEC? Is that your point?
I'm not saying it's a better conference. I'm saying because they have Alabama, Georgia, and they have LSU. I'm not saying that. I am saying that. I'm saying that.
So you're saying your bottom of the barrel is better than their bottom of the barrel. Is that your argument? Yeah.
No, I'm not. I'm saying, yes, they're bottom of the barrel because they have to play teams with interim head coaches that are getting right back off their feet off of either NCAA violations or the fact that their whole infrastructure of what made the programs great at one point in time isn't there at the moment.
You're all over the place, in my opinion. Yeah, that's just my opinion. You're all over the place because Georgia had a very good year. Florida had a good year. Kentucky had a good year. Alabama, we know what they did. Texas A&M with Jimbo Fisher had a really good year. LSU had a really good year. Mississippi State had a good year. Let's not just dismiss that the SEC, and that just because they have Ole Miss and Arkansas and Tennessee and Vanderbilt doesn't make Alabama, you know, is that the reason why Kyler Murray should win the award? Because I asked you 9 times, who are those really good teams in the Big 12? Who are they? Who are the teams that you could even say that for in the Big 12? I'm confused because I don't really get the caller's point whatsoever. Didn't do a good job explaining it. David in Birmingham, Alabama, next up, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, David?
First of all, that guy's nuttier than squirrel turds if you think for a second that the Big 12, listen, the Big 12 is 7-on-7, okay? I guess, according to him and the caller before that, I guess we should just stop playing defense because apparently having a good defense...
Great point.
...off 2 of the Heisman Trophy. That's absurd. Listen, oh, my God, my head's going to explode. But All right.
Quickly, because I got to get into a break.
All right, look. Alabama plays... Look back at all the teams now that we've beaten in the top 25. We've beaten 5 ranked teams. 2 teams in the top 10, okay? Tua had to go up against the best defenses in the country all year. He wasn't playing flag football. He wasn't going up against guys that can't tackle, that bounce off of a 5'10" quarterback when they try to tackle him. It's absurd. I have filed a lawsuit against college football for Alabama discrimination. I have retained counsel. This is ridiculous. And that's what this boils down to. And I'm just... It's ridiculous, man.
Well, the Big 12 guy will see you in court, and it will be a fun little debate. We'll make it a litigious situation. How about that? More law in college football.
He's glad you're still here. Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
Anyways, Week 14 National Football League. Let's just go game by game. 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS, the Jets at the Bills. I know you can make all your jokes and say, Jets, Bills, Bills crushed them last time. Why even watch this game? Even though it's not official because the coach is just absolutely crazy these days and he wants to play these mind game with the media, stop playing mind games. Get your team to show up and play a game instead of having their mind be somewhere else. But it looks like Sam Darnold will play even though that's not official. So he will return and you get a little matchup of the two young quarterbacks in Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. I bet you a trendy pick for how trendy it could be with these two teams being as bad as they are going to be the Buffalo Bills. But I actually like the Jets in this game. The Jets got clobbered last time. I'm not saying this is going to be a team that has a bunch of pride because we've seen them get clobbered a bunch this year. But I just have a feeling with Darnold coming back, that gives him a little bit extra juice. He makes one less mistake than Josh Allen, who could beat you with the legs. And I know Darnold's had his turnover problems, but I just have a feeling. I don't feel great about it. I wouldn't put money on it. I wouldn't put my life savings on it. I wouldn't even put $10 on it, being honest. But I just get a feeling that the Jets win and give Graceffo some happiness in what is a miserable season for the JETS Jets, Jets, Jets. Giants at Redskins. I would have said going into this game a few days ago, the Giants would win and it would be a lock because you would think that that Odell Beckham would be playing. He's not playing with the quad injury. Now, Saquon Barkley should be enough. The Redskins have, and say what you want about Eli Manning, but the Redskins have Mark Sanchez starting at quarterback. So the Giants should win, but you want to see where this team is at and the Giants without Odell Beckham and how that affects them in this game. But the Giants still should be able to beat them. Now, one thing with the Redskins is their front seven, I know they didn't have Ioannidis last week, but their front seven is good. Very good. The front seven for the Washington Redskins. So that could cause a problem. Giants offensive line has played better. It's still not great. It's still not very good. We know that. But the way that the Redskins win this game is getting pressure on Eli and forcing Eli to make a mistake and make a few mistakes. The problem is on the other end, even if you do that, Mark Sanchez, well, he has a habit for making a mistake or two or maybe three or four. Saints at Bucks. Bucks have won two in a row. The Saints, coming off that loss to the Cowboys, you have to expect Drew Brees and company, after only scoring 10 points on a Thursday night football game, are going to just come out with the mission and go to Tampa. A game that they lost earlier this year. That was the first game of the season. And you have to think that the Saints put on a pretty number up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Patriots at Dolphins. Now, we're going to predict this one in the next segment, so I'll save the prediction. But Brady has struggled. He has struggled in Miami in his career. Now, will it be enough, those struggles, to lose the game? You'll wait till the next segment, but that's something to think about. Because since 2013, Tom Brady in Miami is 1-4. That's just since 2013. And he's below 500 in his career in Miami going up against the Miami Dolphins. So the humidity, the hot weather, maybe it affects Brady and the Pats a little bit, but we shall see. Ravens at the Chiefs. Fun game. Mahomes in that offense. Obviously no more Kareem Hunt. How does that affect them with this Ravens defense? And the Ravens now have new life. They're going for that sixth seed. Harbaugh's job could be saved because of the play of Lamar Jackson. And you like to see how he grows each and every week. But this is a team that they started to look like, yeah, they weren't going to make the playoffs, and they pull it together. This is a Ravens team. It's a big test. I don't think they win the game, because in matchups of defense versus offense in the National Football League this year, the offense does win. But this has been a nice job by the Ravens. Take down the Falcons. They beat the Raiders. They beat the Bengals. Coming out of that bye week to be three wins in a row, it's a nice job after losing three to the Saints, the Panthers, and then also the Pittsburgh Steelers. Next game, Colts at Texans. Colts, abysmal performance a week ago offensively up against the Jaguars. The Texans, as hot can be in the National Football League, after starting out 0-3, they've won nine in a row. The trendy pick is going to be Houston. It's tough to pick against Houston, but I think this is going to be a game that comes right down to the wire. And you have Luck. I think he'll bounce back. His offense will bounce back. They'll have a big week. And it comes down to mistakes at the quarterback position between Luck and then Deshaun Watson. Falcons at Packers. This is the teams that should be good who stink. And that's what this is. It's the teams that should be in the playoffs, when you look at just talent, that aren't going to sniff the playoffs. The Falcons, Dan Quinn, and what that coaching staff has done, and they've not been able to get this thing right. It's embarrassing. And the Packers, it's their first game since 2006 when they hired Mike McCarthy without having Mike McCarthy on the sidelines. I'm not picking this game. I have no interest in this game. It may end up being a really good game just watching it, but both of these teams have played so poorly this year that I just don't have an interest in the game. And both of these teams, they have enough talent where they should be playing better than only having four wins for the Packers and four wins for the Falcons. And both of these teams, the Falcons have lost four straight and the Packers have lost three straight. And the Packers are coming off a loss to Arizona. And the Falcons, they just keep on puking all over themselves. And they really have been. And this game is in Green Bay. The Falcons have one win on the road this year. Yikes. Panthers at Browns. The Panthers, this is their last shot. You cannot lose five in a row. You're 6-6. You're still in a playoff mix. Your last four games have been absolutely terrible. You're good at home where you have 5-1. You're terrible on the road where you're 1-5. And on this Sunday, you make the trip to Cleveland. Go get a win. And we were talking about coaching the hot seat yesterday. Ron Rivera is now in the hot seat. It's one that we left off the list just because of his success in years past and how long he's been there. But Ron Rivera is on the hot seat. And with the way that the NFC has been this year, not as good as we thought it was, and the way the Panthers got off to a good start, if the Panthers miss the postseason, that could be it for Ron Rivera with the Carolina Panthers. Broncos at 49ers. Broncos should win this game. Broncos have done a nice job. They've turned it around. Give credit to Vance Joseph, but you have to beat the 49ers coming up later today at 4 or 5 p.m. Eastern. Bengals at Chargers. Bengals stink. Chargers, they're hot. They get that emotional win against the Steelers. Don't look ahead to the following week, a short week up against the Chiefs. You got to beat the Bengals today. Lions at Cardinals. Not even spending a second on this. Sorry if you're a Detroit fan or Arizona fan. We're pressed for time, and your football teams, they're not worthy of talking about them right now. Steelers at the Raiders. Steelers should bounce back. They should win the game. If they lose to the Raiders, they're in big-time trouble. And that division is not a guarantee for the Steelers either with the way that the Ravens are playing. Eagles at Cowboys. I think it's a field goal game. I think it comes down to quarterback play. The Eagles are banged up as well. It comes down to, can Carson Wentz play at an MVP level like he did a year ago? If he could do that, the Eagles can win this game. If the Cowboys get to Carson, run the football, and Dak is the game manager that he is and plays above average, 20-28, a touchdown, two touchdowns, no interceptions, then the Cowboys will win this game. If Carson can be great, Eagles should win. If Carson is not great and Dak does just enough, then the Cowboys will win.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.